Stocks dropped in oil-producing countries across the Middle East in reaction to that flurry of diplomatic activity this weekend. The International Atomic Energy Agency declaring that Iran had kept its end of the nuclear deal, dismantling its potential nuclear weapons program, and so certain sanctions, including against buying Iranian oil, would be lifted. Through separate negotiations, U.S. prisoners were released, along with Iranians jailed here in the U.S. for violating those sanctions. Nicholas Burns is a former Undersecretary of State. He was one of the lead U.S. negotiators on Iran's nuclear program under George W. Bush. He's now at Harvard. So, Nick Burns, your reaction to this news?
Well, Robin, this is historic. It's a big step forward for the United States and Iran. You know, our two countries have been estranged for 35 years since the hostage crisis of 1979. We've gone to the brink of war over Iran's nuclear program, I think thanks to President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry. They took a chance on negotiations. And I think this deal makes sense to the United States. It avoids an Iranian nuclear weapon, but we accomplished it through negotiations, not through the force of arms.
Well, it was two different negotiation tracks, we understand. One for the nuclear deal and the other for the release of these prisoners. Now, not everyone is calling it a victory for smart diplomacy. Many of the Republican candidates for president say are trading seven Iranians detained in the U.S. For the release of five prisoners in Iran is not only a sign of weakness, it sets up that it's open season on anyone associated with America in that region, that there will be more kidnappings.
I think this was a difficult compromise, and there are real risks attached to this because it could be that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, the hardline element in Iran, might try to take Americans hostage in the future. But look, the hostages had been held for a long time. They've been held unjustly in Iran. President Obama felt he had an obligation to get them back. It was a bitter pill to swallow that seven Americans and Iranian Americans in jail in the United States for violating our sanctions laws will now receive clemency. But I think on balance, it was the right decision for President Obama.
Well, and as you pointed out, these were prisoners who were being held for violating sanctions that are now lifted. What about the nuclear deal? Do you trust that?
Well, I do. I've supported the nuclear deal. As you mentioned, I worked on Iran diplomacy for Secretary of State Condi Rice in the Bush administration as a career Foreign Service officer. I've always felt that we're better off trying diplomacy first, and if we don't succeed, we always can resort, if necessary, to the use of force. But here we're going to be able to see Iran's nuclear program frozen for the next 10 to 15 years. They won't have the ability to make a nuclear weapon. That's a decided advantage for the United States. And the fact is that there will be very tough international inspections of Iran's regime. It will not be easy for them to cheat and trim on this deal. They may try, but the world is going to be watching as they do that. And we're going to have the support of our European allies, of the Russians and Chinese, of most of the Arab countries in implementing the nuclear deal. So on balance, this is a good deal for the United States. But the problem we're going to have is that when we implement the nuclear deal, we're also going to have to contend with a very aggressive, very negative Iran in the region. They've been bankrolling the Syrian government, contributing to that bloody civil war. They've been funding and arming Hezbollah against Israel, Hamas against Israel, and they've instigated a civil war in Yemen. So they're a troublemaker. And at the same time that we implement the nuclear deal, President Obama and his successor are going to have to push back against the Iranians in the Middle East.
Well, and what are your concerns about the fact that Iran can now export oil?
This was one of the major compromises, obviously, that we had to make. In return for Iran disassembling its nuclear weapons program, its uranium and plutonium programs, the Iranians get sanctions relief. As part of sanctions relief, Iran can return to global energy markets. It's a major producer of oil and gas. But prices are low right now, particularly for oil. And so the Iranians are not going to accrue the kind of windfall that they had anticipated a couple of years ago. And frankly, I think that's a benefit for us. It's certainly a benefit for consumers to have lower prices for gasoline. Also a benefit not to see an inordinate amount of money go to the Iranian government to finance their nefarious activities in the region.
When it comes to diplomacy, we understand that part of this deal is the hope that the vast majority of Iranians who want to throw off the yoke of the sanctions, who want more relations with the West, there's a more moderate president, that this is aimed at them as opposed to the rigid rest of the leadership of that country. What happens if throwing off sanctions doesn't help the country as much as it was hoped it would?
Well, it's not a sure thing. It is true that Iran has a very young country demographically, that public opinion polls show that the Iranian people, by and large, are not profoundly anti-American. They're a trading culture. They're entrepreneurial. They want to be reintegrated into the global economy. Their young people want to be able to travel for the first time, and they want to see their economy lifted. So there is a possibility that the reformist wing of the government will be strengthened by Iran's re-entry into the global market. But the reactionary wing, the people who are running guns to terrorist groups in the Middle East, right now I think they're a little bit stronger. And so we actually don't know what impact the nuclear deal will have on Iran's internal political developments. But I think that Secretary Kerry has been right to say, look, we'll challenge Iran to work more productively and constructively on the Syrian civil war or on Yemen. But we'll have our guard up to defend against Iran in the region. I think that's the only proper thing for the U.S. to do.
Nicholas Burns, former U.S. ambassador to NATO, former undersecretary of state. He's now a professor of diplomacy at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. Nick, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Robin.